Welcome to the Real Vintage Podcast with your host, Stephen Cox. On today's episode.
But that's not good enough. Now say it publicly. Now type it. I had one guy call me and say, we want you to type it out on social media so everybody can see it. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not a school kid.
All that and more coming up next.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for tuning back in to the Real Vintage Podcast. And we thank you for being a faithful listener. And I hope you're having a great start to your weekend. And we're excited about what the Lord is doing through the podcast. And if you remember, this will be kind of the part two of last week's kind of theme of balanced. What is a balanced man or being balanced in the ministry? And I just wanted to remind everyone that, hey, these gospel tracts that we printed up, these little Jeep tracts, I want you to pray for them. Pray that God would use these in the lives of people. One that I wrote, if you are not aware, maybe you're a brand new listener, I wrote a little gospel tract with a Jeep on the front of it, kind of a neat a lady in our church. She's a, her name's Jessica. She's just, this is what she does for a living. She's a marketing, I guess, designer, digital designer, or what is it called? Graphic designer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For these big companies. And so she, I can give her a little task and she takes it and she just runs with it. She is excellent. She does all of our stuff just about at the church and does a first class job. She took this track and I gave her the central theme, gave her what I wanted it to say. And she just ran with it. And it says, where every Jeeper can go, it has our information, church information on the back, has a Jeep on the front inside, kind of gives a little history about the Jeep, some fun fact about the Jeep, and then it goes into the gospel. And I told you last week, I'm wanting to go to the Jeep invasion. We've already kind of solidified that in Tennessee at the end of August. It's a big deal, Smoky Mountain Jeep invasion, I believe it is. And my wife and I is going to go. Everything you can possibly think about that has to do with Jeeps is found in the Smoky Mountains those 3 days. I promise you. I've heard lots about it. This is the first year it looks like that I'll be able to go for a couple days. And so the most important thing is going there and passing out some of these tracts. I would love to get them in the hands of people. And then we're going to try to do like a series of different themed tracts. Harley Davidson, I've already got some requests for that, doing some Harleys, motorcycle. A lot of people love to ride motorcycles. And especially this time of year, you know, golfing, hunting, fishing. You got a buddy, and maybe he's you want your burden for him and his soul, or maybe you just see somebody and you're really wanting to give the gospel to him. Be a great tool. We'll call it a real life gospel conversation series, and that's what it is. It's a gospel conversation, a witnessing tool to get the gospel in someone's life. So I really appreciate you praying for it, and the Lord has been very good to us here at Bible Baptist. We are still really not a whole lot of news on the building other than we found out some pretty positive news that we should hear something back from them very soon. We announced that last night. I just want you to keep praying for this building expansion. We are really excited about the opportunity to expand our campus and seating and classes and auditorium. It'd be a great opportunity for us here. And we were planning on building, and Ken, right now is not a good ideal time to build. I know some guys that are doing it.
It's a little expensive.
It's just, I've had a few of those guys that are currently building buildings or have tell me, man, if you can avoid it right now, do, because what you could build just a year ago or a year and a half ago, you almost double that price. I mean, it is ridiculous right now.
Yeah.
So the Lord could have dropped this. I mean, just think about it. Who in your ministry has ever had a church right beside your church become available?
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before, ever. And this is all I've ever known. I've never heard of the situation that we're in where we're not relocating. As far as like, we're not having to move our campus. It literally adjoins our campus. Mm-hmm. If you've ever seen it, it's at the front of the road on a very busy road. We're kind of in the back of the road, off a little ways, but our properties adjoin. 4 acres, 20 acres, 1,400 square foot building. That's about what we have here. That means we would have 2,800 square feet plus some side buildings and things. Ken, that's a blessing. and just pray about it. Pray that God will work this out for us and that they'll receive our offer. And we're excited about what God's doing at our church. And man, we're just moving right along. God has been so good to us. And I hope that you listened. If you missed last week's podcast, then you're kind of catching the second part. And I'm going to I'm not going to touch on it because I got a lot to cover in just a short amount of time. But I was talking about balance in the ministry. Anything that is out of balance, I'll be honest with you, it's about to break. Balance brings longevity. You know, you look at a guy that is been a pastor of the same church for, he's had to have balance in some areas. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't hear those 10 years much anymore where a guy's there 30 years or 40 years, even 20 years. Because a lot of times they either burn out because they're given way too much, or they fall out because they're not given enough. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then balance in philosophy. So a lot of times in ministry philosophy, we're lacking that balance. We get wrapped up in one certain type of way, and if we're not careful, we'll fall out of sync or. And we'll crash and burn.
Have you ever seen an unbalanced bodybuilder?
So he's big up top or
you know, the term skip leg day.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got chicken legs.
When you're talking about balance,
that's exactly, somebody, that's a good analogy. Know, yeah.
Pumping up the top and then little chicken legs down there. You're like,
There's guys that, and you know, leg day's tough. They always dread it.
Yeah.
But if you don't do it, you're right.
Yeah.
You'll be a real big guy up top and have these skinny little legs at the bottom and look very weird. That's a good way to put it. There's a lot of guys that have great qualities, but they're missing some key elements, and it's causing them some balance issues in their life. Let me just give you a couple thoughts about it. And I'm going to continue from last week. A balanced man is not afraid of people that think for themselves. So I teach a group of millennials every Sunday. We have about, if everybody shows up in our class, we've got about 35 millennials in our church. Not college and career. That's a whole different class and group. These are millennials. These are people that have already graduated college or either in the summertime, some of them will come in. But mostly when we're in the fall, the college and career have their own class, and we have our own. And these are millennials. We're talking about from 25 to 35, that age, maybe 24, 23, something like that. But they're up to about 35, 36 years old, and I'm teaching them. You're talking about a group that asks questions and thinks for themselves. They will ask questions about the Word of God. They'll ask questions about what you're, you know, we've been going through the book, The Tale of Three Kings by Gene Edwards. The life of David, the life of Saul, the life of Absalom, where they went wrong, where they went right, different things. It has been wonderful. Basically, 1st, 2nd Samuel, those studies there. What they have brought out, sometimes I'm scratching my head thinking, man, that's a great question.
Yeah.
And sometimes we're afraid of people that think. All right. So we think, you know, a balanced guy doesn't want, you know, he's not afraid of that. He wants you to think. He wants you to be a thinker. He wants you to say, man, why are we doing this? Or why do we believe this? Let's not be intimidated. That's a good question. I want my teens to ask that. Why do we believe this? Now, there's a lot of guys that think that's a bad question. You just do what I tell you to do. Just do what. But that is not going to work when reaching young people. Yeah, not anymore.
Past the toddler stage, you got to start answering some whys.
You do. Now there was a past generation that you just do because I said.
Yeah.
And they were taught that way. You just do as I said. I'm authority. You're not. Do as I say. Don't ask any questions. That doesn't work anymore. I mean, as far as that mentality, very few people still have that in them. So it's explain why we do this. Give me a Bible reason why you do this.
Yeah.
And so balanced man is not afraid of people that think for themselves. I like it when someone, I'm teaching or after a message, I'll have somebody in my office and they'll say, Pastor, I just have a question about what you preached. And sometimes we look at that like, oh, don't you question the man of God, don't you? You know. I've even had to stand corrected a few times by some older folks in our church who know God's word, especially some of our older men who have taught Bible classes longer than I've been alive. And I had one guy one day told me, he said, Pastor, you said a couple Wednesday nights ago that this was this, and this is just recently. And he said, but I believe this. And he showed me scripture for it. You know what I had to do? I went to the class next Wednesday and said, you know what? I stand corrected. And then again, I'm not tooting my own horn. What I'm saying is, let's not be afraid of that.
Yeah.
That's a Berean Christian.
Yeah.
That is one that is not afraid to point out, hey, you're my pastor and I love you. He did it privately, did it right, did it respectfully. But man, I enjoy that because and then it makes you study a little harder. You're like, man, these people out here know God's word.
Some of them paying attention.
Yeah. So a balanced man is not afraid of people that think for themselves. A balanced man never gets upset or irritated when someone questions their motives. So this is something that we have to be very careful of, is creating yes men and people that just say yes to because of your authority. Every now and then, it's not disloyal for someone to question why you did this or why this decision. Now, for instance, we're purchasing this building up here in the middle of negotiations and all that, trying to get it going. But when I first presented this to the church, boy, did I ever have questions. Like, preacher, now I thought we were building and pastor, is this going to work? How are we going to connect these campuses together? And pastor, is this it? Is this what we're doing? Tunnels. I've thought about that. Pastor, I thought we were going to build and when are we going to, how are we going to do? Are we still going to have two services? And why did you do this? And let's not be afraid of answering questions. And people, when they question our motives, sometimes it can be a little bit more, hairier than that. If it's something that you said or something, or maybe you had to deal with something, people will come and say, why'd you do that? Let's not always be on guard like, oh, this person right here, we better watch him or her. It could be that they just genuinely had a question.
Yeah.
A balanced person will not get upset or irritated. How about this? A balanced man does not have one set of like-minded friends. So if everybody around you is just like you, you're not balanced. And that will go over like a lead balloon on this podcast, because some of you will listen. And I'll be honest, Ken, there's some people that listen to the podcast. There's some people that listen to see where I'm at on issues. Mm. They're nosy.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because you put it out there. They can listen. Well, they can do whatever they want to. But I'm talking to you, those of you that are listening to that you have your one set of friends. For instance, someone come to me just this week and said he's friends with some people in another church that is totally to the right of this church. And I feel like we're very right. We're very conservative when it comes to doctrine and those things. But he said, oh, I heard your pastor don't even use the King James anymore. And I said, oh, really? I said, well, look at all them Bibles right there on my shelf. So they're all King James. I preach Sunday from the King James Bible. And I said, that person that said that, have they ever been here? He said, oh, no, I know they haven't. And I said, well, have they ever watched online? Not that I know of. He just heard it. what that creates is, and listen, I'm not upset at them because I expect it out of that certain group, but here's the deal. When you have a set of like mind, and that's all you find yourself around is people just like you, that's cultish. And I got to be careful by saying that. I'm not saying you're in a cult. What I'm saying is everybody looks like you. It's cookie cutter. Mm. That's what you're walking around like a bunch of little, have you ever seen them nutcrackers at Christmas? They all kind of look, that is what it creates. You have this kind of idea that I'm not going to be friends with anybody that doesn't think like me, acts like me, preaches like me, goes and worships like me. And man, one day you're going to wake up and just a sad person. You missed out on a lot of great. Listen, I've got friends all over the board, but one thing keeps us united is we preach Christ.
Amen.
We preach the gospel.
Yep.
That is what unites us. I'm not united, and this may just rub you the wrong way, but I'm not united because of the translation that you preach from. Mm. Okay. I'm not united because of the certain style of music you have on the platform. Mm. I'm not united because your church may not have a certain denominational attachment to it. I'm united with you because of your love for sinners and your love for Jesus, and you preaching the gospel message. Now, doesn't mean that you're going to preach behind my my pulpit. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, where did we lose that? Because if you history buffs of the IFB will ever do your research, because I have, all right, I've been raised in it. Go back into some of the books of the most fundamental men you can ever imagine. Go look and see where they preached in the 70s, the 60s, and even what they believed, and gasp what translation they thought was okay. Bible translation. Now, again, I'm a King James guy. That's what I preach. That's, man, why jump off in the middle of the stream and jump on something else? This King James Bible is God's word. And I thank God for it. I preach from it. But, Ken, this issue with guys that only go to other, you know, this is what they do, and this is who I'm going to have, and he's not straight enough, and he's not, somewhere along the lines, there's a lack of balance, and you're robbing people of, well, I know a guy that, that even tells his people to unfollow certain people on social media because they could be an influence in the Bible college and stuff. So I think that there's just a danger in that because, you know, it creates a curiosity and people will discover it eventually. You know what I mean? Mm. Balance is something that is needed in ministry. So a balanced man does not have one set of like-minded friends. Here's another thing. A balanced man is wise enough to realize danger and leave toxic relationships. Mm. So if there's someone that is creating a relationship that, I'm talking about a friendship that is toxic, that is creating a critical spirit in you, you'll be, a balanced man will be wise enough to realize this is hurting me. Mm. Don't be unkind.
That's such a tough one because you know, I think I grew up in a very similar background as you did.
Yeah.
And you're taught to love people and you want to do that. But when you find somebody that's just a constant thorn and pushing you towards the wrong thing, it's often hard to cut that off, you know?
Or listen,
what does that look like?
Well, here's what the other side would say. So here's the other side of the balance that's off or non-balance. Is some of that other side says, throw away all your heritage. Mm. They were all wrong. And you're not an independent Baptist. All independent Baptists are just a bunch of, you know, legalistic Pharisees and all. And that is so untrue.
Right. Yeah.
I grew up in a loving church. I grew up with a loving man of God who happened to be my father. I'm not saying that because he's my dad. I'm saying that because that man has led more souls to Christ than just about any preacher I've ever met. Hmm. Constantly soul winning, constantly, and preaches the gospel and loves sinners and loves the poor. Hmm. I'm telling you, loves the poor. I've seen him literally take money out of his wallet at church and give it to people. Not out of the church. He give it individually to people who needed it. He loves people. And if you know him, you're listening to him, you know what I mean. He is a loving individual. So there are some that would say, hey, that church you grew up in, that's a toxic church. Don't ever go back to that. And by the way, bash it. Social media. No. That's unbalanced. That is just as unbalanced as someone who is on the extreme right who's looking at everybody else like, oh, you are wrong. Mm. There's Pharisees on both sides.
Yeah.
Why can't we just love people? Mm. And yes, there are some things that you may not line up with and agree with, but the importance is getting through those things, having mercy, having grace, and saying, you know what? I can do better. There's things that I have to improve on. I've not arrived. So a balanced man needs to know when those relationships... Your question was, how do we know when to pull the plug on something
that's been? Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I honestly believe the Spirit of God will reveal that, Ken. Mm-hmm. Honestly, there's been a couple times where I've had to pull the plug on a relationship. I mean, just shut down and say, you know what? I see where this is going. I'm unfollowing you. I'm you know, having to get this because I cannot. Every time I see this, it affects my spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if a constant, I can't do that. It leads to bitterness.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And we can't afford that into our life.
That's a key factor.
It leads to bitterness. Mm-hmm. How about this? A balanced man is a lonely man. So often a balanced man finds himself somewhat lonely, especially in the ministry. You're a misunderstood. There's things that are just misunderstood about, you know, even about me. For instance, last year, you remember this, on Facebook, I posted I was being funny, thought I was, but I remember the guy that had the tank top and the backwards shirt. That was just it came up on my news feed the other day.
Man, that guy looked a lot like you.
We had to be, yeah, he did. I mean, even Rebecca was a little caught off guard there.
Like, when was this?
So we were having the outdoor services, and so all the timing was just unbelievable. Anyway, I posted that saying, man, our outdoor service today was on fire. And boy, people were laughing.
Describe this guy, what he looked like, though.
Yeah. Okay. So
he looked like you.
Yeah. He looked like me, but he had a backwards hat, sunglasses. He was holding a microphone, and he had a tank top.
Yeah.
A wife beater kind of tank top on. And, you know, kind of a hip looking guy, hipster kind of guy. So,
did he have tattoos?
No, didn't have tattoos. Okay. Just, you know.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. So I posted that saying, man, our service was lit. Because somebody sent it to me like, man, I had to do a double take. It looked just like you. Well, everybody that knows me knows that it was not me. All right. So, boy, there was, you know, lots of folks were having a good time hee-hawing around with it and all that, liking it. And then somebody messaged one of our staff people and said, hey, I didn't know your pastor had went and did, you know, started. And he said, yeah, we're just, you know, all these different preachers are texting me saying he preached this way Sunday. Well, I told him, I said, well, man, all you got to do is look at the post. It was a joke.
Yeah.
So then I had to post a picture of me literally preaching. Remember that?
Yeah.
On live stream. And I said, folks, you know, I mean, this is sad. You can't even joke around.
Yeah.
You know, it just comes from you find yourself when you're truly trying and striving for a balance. People are going to misunderstand you.
Yeah.
It's a lonely place. They're going to look for you to trip up. Mm. They're going to listen to every word that you say and dissect it and say, well, you know what? He said he uses the King James, but does he believe it? I mean, come on.
Wow.
I wouldn't use it if I didn't believe it. It's God's holy word, but that's not good enough. Now say it publicly. Now type it. I had one guy call me and say, we want you to type it out on social media so everybody can see it. And I said, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not a school kid. You know what I mean? But they just want to go at you, and it's a lonely place. At times you're just what people cannot understand, they tend to criticize.
Sure.
And you just don't understand it. So, hey, it's easy to criticize. How about this? A balanced man is a reader. So I love to read books, and I love to read books about theology. I love to read books, just novels. I love to read books that are, you know, like biographies of great men or autobiographies, just books about commentaries. I love reading a book. So a reader, someone that reads. Not just social media posts either. I'm talking about reading a book. Also, a balanced man puts his family ahead of his ministry. We've talked about that before, but you know, what would it profit you to be a great preacher or a great pastor but lose your family? Let's use our family for the glory of God. Let's love them, because family is the gift that God's given you. That's your first mission field. How about this? If a pastor, if that's who you are, you're listening. If you're a pastor, a balanced man will lead his church the way he feels God wants him to lead it. I'm not a pastor of anybody else's church. Mm. So how dare me try to correct another pastor on how he pastors his church? You know, a balanced man has enough to deal with. Even if you're pastoring 15 people, you have enough to deal with, pastor those people. 150, it doesn't matter the size. It's all important to God, and it should keep you busy enough to keep your nose in your business. A balanced man knows that there's a boundary there that I should not overstep.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I'm invited to go preach at a church or a conference or a camp or whatever, I'm not there to correct anybody.
Mm.
A balanced man knows when to hush. I'm not your pastor. I'm not here to correct. I'm here to encourage, and mostly the pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to encourage the pastor. So know that. How about a balanced man will preach in the places he feels God's open for him to preach. I just said that. But if God's opened a door for me to preach, I'm going to go preach, preach the gospel and wherever.
I had the pleasure of traveling for years on a gospel singing group. And we went to, I mean, hundreds of churches all over. And it was awesome because it was great to see so many different churches, all the differences, you know, like you said, small, large, big, whatever. And just like, and I was able to go up into West Virginia.
Yeah.
Way up into
Charleston.
We went to Charleston. There was another one called a holler, right?
When yeah.
you're up there,
yeah.
you're only one way in, one way
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that's right.
Pastor Raby, I think.
Okay.
Tiny little church. It's like where the mountain songs yeah. came from.
Yeah. Yeah.
they didn't
yeah.
have piano. They had a guy up there singing with a book.
Yep.
And
yeah. I love those churches.
Oh man, it was awesome. You know?
Yeah. And you know what? Pastor Raby, if that's you know, he has enough to keep him busy pastoring those mountain people. Mm-hmm. Why would he go across the holler to another church and try to correct that? You know, and same way with social media, man, just you know, have enough balance in your life to just stay in your lane. That's what we call it.
Yeah.
And a balanced man will apologize when he is wrong, even perceived as wrong. So, for instance, this week I posted something on social media on Facebook, and basically I thought about it. I think the statement was true. What I said. I said something like along the lines of, you know, if you are claiming to have thousands saved in your church each year or the history of your church, thousands, but you only have 100 people in your church that will come and listen, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Either you're not discipling, you know, that was kind of the con, you're not retaining okay. those people and creating disciples to go and reach other people. Man, if you're leading thousands, I mean, not hundreds, not scores, thousands of people in your town or your city, surely if you're discipling these folks and baptizing them and teaching them to do likewise, I know you're not going to get everybody. Goodness, we haven't at all. No mm-hmm. church has. But wouldn't you have more than 100 people? Now, again, depend, you know, the country, sometimes some parts of the country are harder than others. I understand that. Well, I posted that. Just the truth. A lot of folks were, hey, I agree, you know, this and that. Wasn't looking for that, but they agreed. But there was some that did not.
Yeah.
Just a few, but they were loud about it. And it was people that I kind of knew. And so I left it up there for about 5 minutes, maybe 10. And then I deleted it. Yeah. Because I felt, Ken, that though my spirit was right about it, I didn't post it out of a bad spirit. I felt like it could have been portrayed as a bad spirit or a critical or judgmental, mm-hmm. and then it could have hurt some innocent people. Mm-hmm. And I had a bunch of people say, don't delete truth. And boy, they were just on, you know, don't delete when it's truth and all that. But there was a fine line there because first I wasn't preaching. I was just posting to Facebook. Mm-hmm. And of course I wouldn't delete a doctrinal truth, you know, that's something, but this one wasn't a doctrinal truth. It was just, you know, you would think that there would be more disciples.
I saw that post. I took it more of a question. It was more of like a search kind of a thing.
It was a thinking question.
Oh, you know, is this true about me individually? Okay. Yeah. Let me think about that.
You're leading souls to Christ.
Yeah.
Is it about numbers or disciples?
Mm-hmm.
That's all it was. Really more of a thinking, like, what are you doing with these people? You just winning them and leaving them? Or are you going after them? Like, yeah. Hey, I need you. And not that we have attained here at our church this pinnacle of discipleship. We all can improve on that. But it was just, I didn't feel good about it. Mm-hmm. I felt like I'd maybe hurt somebody, so I deleted it. And you know what? I haven't regretted it because, you know, I wouldn't want to hurt nobody.
Right.
Now, the individual that was, you know, irate and all, you know, you have to sometimes – you know, forgive and, you know, sometimes even mute or whatever, but because they won't let go. But the thing is, you know, learn to know or to apologize. I apologize. I said, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And just move on. And then let me say this. I'll end it with this. Nobody has it all figured out balance can always be improved on and sought after. Everybody. So I'm not the epitome of balance. God knows that I'm still striving to reach that Christ-like balance. And you may have heard some things today, and you're like, well, I don't agree with that, or I don't like that. But trust me.
Post it on Facebook for us.
Yeah, please do. Yeah, message us or message me or whatever. But one thing I want to leave with our audience is, get around balanced men, and don't be afraid when men that make you think. That's why I love reading Spurgeon. I love reading some of these men, some of the Puritan writers. I love reading. You say, well, some of them are hyper-Calvinists or whatever. I understand that. I'm certainly not a Calvinist. But the theology and the love for Christ and the gospel, you can't, and by the way, I don't think Spurgeon was a Calvinist like some of these are, like hyper-Calvinists today.
Yeah.
He was a soul winner.
Soul winner, yeah.
He was. Mm-hmm. And now there are some that are dangerous to read after. You got to learn to eat the meat, spit the bones out, learn what's good. I've got a few guys over here that every now and then I'll come across something. I'm like, I don't agree with that. But boy, that's a good content. Yeah. If you can't handle that, then be around some guys that can and learn to develop an open mind in some areas where you can. I think that's been one of the flaws, Ken, that some of the guys in the independent realm, they're afraid of guys they don't understand, so they just, and nobody's writing books. You know who's writing books today in the independent realm? I can list them.
Yeah.
We've had one on the radio, Ken Kuykendall, Kenny Kuykendall, a dear friend, preaching here this August. Kenny writes books, and they're excellent. Preaching books, theology, prayer book. Paul Chappell, all right? He'll write some books, and I appreciate his faithfulness to writing books. There's a few others that are writing books, but some of them are not even theological sound. But, and I know they're all, we've had them. We've had them for 150 years, some of them 200 years or greater than that. Let's not be afraid to read after somebody that you may not all line up exactly the way. But let me just say this. If you don't, then who are you reading after?
Yeah.
Zane Grey, Louis L'Amour. I mean, who are you reading after? Oh, I'm just reading the Bible. Good for you. But you're robbing yourself of some greatness that lies in some men that the Holy Spirit gave them.
Yeah, the hours of study. And
I mean, I'm looking at Donald Barnhouse right now. Yeah. I've got his whole series on the book of Romans. Mm. There is not a better series on the book of Romans than Donald Barnhouse. Mm. I use it a lot. I taught through Romans a few years ago, and I'll continue to. Warren Wiersbe.
Yeah.
I'm looking at even some of the older men. There's Ivor Powell and different ones. Of course, I mentioned Spurgeon, but I've got some Alexander McLaren right here. There may be some that I don't exactly. J. Sidlow Baxter. Great men. But would we line up theologically on everything? Would we line up on preference and even some of the doctrine? Probably not, but have I learned some things? Boy, have I ever.
Yeah.
And so we're robbing ourselves. Lastly, just get around balanced men, follow balanced men, listen to balanced men, listen to them preach, listen to a podcast. Don't be afraid of them. If you don't agree with all they say, fine, but don't throw them out. Don't shut them down. Follow what they say. Or at least take it. If you don't like what one thing they said, spit it out.
Mm-hmm.
But go on. Hey, there's some good things he said. And I think balance is missing in our movement a lot. And let me just say, not balance to the right. There's some balance to the left too. I mean, there's some guys over here on the left that are just bitter and they're angry.
Call it the pendulum swing, right? One side to the next.
Yep. Well, I mean,
it's dangerous.
Yeah. You're talking about dangerous. You'll find yourself in the ditches when you swing from one side to the other. I want to keep it in the road, and I have enough trouble with me. And I want my church to succeed. And I want to hear well done.
Yeah.
And I do. I want to please my Heavenly Father. So I may not please you, podcast listener. I may not. You may not like everything you hear, but you can't accuse me of skirting issues, or you can't accuse me of not saying what I believe. I do believe these things with all my heart. And I also appreciate those of you that would take time, 30 minutes, 35 minutes of your time to listen. I know that balance is something that I'm working on. I've not reached this pinnacle. I have some great friends and some great mentors and heroes that I look to. Not all of them think like I do, and I don't think like all of my mentors do or friends, but I appreciate their faithfulness to Scripture and their faithfulness to God and their faithfulness to the gospel. And if we can agree on those things, we'll get somewhere. And I think that's what we need to. We need to unite around the gospel. So, guys, thank you for listening. Ken, thank you for jumping on with me today. Ken kind of does all the behind the scenes and never really, you don't hear from him a whole lot. And he's faithful to come in and record these podcasts and just do all the editing and the, uploading them to the podcast website and all the different places. I think we resolved the Apple
issue. We have, yep. Okay. So long story short, I got a quick fix for it to make sure we're in control of it. Man, that was frustrating for a while.
It was.
I mean, people were writing both of us saying, hey, I can't listen to it.
Yeah.
And man.
You could listen to it. The way I understood it, most of it was through the Apple iTunes app.
Yeah, it was actually through the mobile app. So if you browse to the website, it was working there. But apparently on their mobile phone or probably an iPad as well.
And that's how I listen.
That's the majority of our listeners there too.
Yeah, there are a lot of them are listening through. Yep. A lot of Apple phones out there. Yep. So what was frustrating me is, you know, you go through the work, you got the content, you got all those things, and you put it out there, and these guys cannot listen on the app that they typically listen on. So me and Ken were, I was just texting Ken. I don't know how this works, but I was texting Ken saying, hey, man, you know, because Ken's got a Samsung, don't you?
Yeah, I have a Google phone, you know, Pixel. So I'm on Android.
He was not having any problems on his end. So I was having the problems on my end, and it was even doing it to me. So I was like, oh, no. And so for about two or three episodes, things were sketchy on the iTunes app. But the last episode, it looks like we got it resolved, and the last two episodes. And so we're rolling now. So don't be afraid to share it, like it, comment. Do as Mason did a few weeks ago. Email the website.
Yeah.
You can even voice record a question. If you have a question about something, I'll be sure to answer it. And we can go from there. But
I had one little tidbit of information that was kind of interesting. So we got an email from somebody through Anchor, I believe. They said they have some cool information for us that our podcast has had good performance in the Apple podcast rankings in the last 30 days, which is curious because we had issues in the last 30 days. Yeah. We're in position 198 in the category Christianity for Australia.
So
need to
cool.
get a plaque or something.
Yeah, so we're pretty big in Australia.
In Australia, apparently.
Isn't that crazy? Wow.
It's fantastic.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. It is cool to see all the different, what do they call that? When you're able to look and see all over the globe.
Analytics.
Yeah, analytics. And you can see we got a lot of folks that listen from different parts of the world.
It's small, but I mean, we're in India, Canada, Spain, Puerto Rico, Philippines, Germany, Chile, Honduras, Australia, you know.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
And it's cool to see the kind of the reboot. Since there's been a reboot, we've seen a growth in listeners.
Yep.
And we were doing pretty good last year. One of our episodes with Rebecca did exceptional.
Yeah.
I think because we brought some lady people, you know, listening.
Right, yep.
But, you know, it was just, it was just a blessing to see that and how the podcast has kind of grown. And again,
it's been super fun and exciting.
It's been fun and exciting. Yeah, one day we're going to, when we get our schedules ironed out and get a better, we're going to record some for Facebook like we did.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll kind of put them out there so you can watch them, and we'll take care of that. Guys, thank you for tuning in to the podcast. We're again excited about what God's doing. And download this, share it, like it, comment, and we look forward to the next episode. God bless. Thank you. you for listening to the Real Vintage Podcast. You can connect with us through social media at facebook.com/realvintagepodcast or Instagram at realvintagepodcast or even Twitter at real_vintage. Also, feel free to email us at realvintagepodcast@gmail.com. And again, thank you for listening, and please stay tuned for another episode next week. God bless.